Gentlemen, you can't debate in here. This is a debate club. Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, and this is Right Angle, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Gentlemen, I don't know if you guys did debate in high school or college. I did some. I absolutely loved it. But imagine a debate competition where the high school kids or the college kids are judged not on the strength of their argument and presentation, but on the content of what they have to say. Increasingly, that's what's going on here. I got this from James Fishback at the Free Press, who says that, give you a little background here. The students in debate get to know their judges online. It's a platform called Tabroom. I actually looked this up. It's pretty cool. And judges can post their paradigms. That's the that explain what the judges look for from the students during their debates. If a judge prefers competitors not to spread, that's to speak a mile a minute, debaters will moderate their pace. If a judge emphasizes impacts, the reason why an argument matters, debaters adjust their accordingly. But let's say, and again, this is from James Fishback. Let's say when a student clicks on their judge's Tabroom profile, they see that the judge is Lila Lavender, who was a 2019 national debate champion, who is now a judge, who says, "I am a Marxist-Leninist Maoist. I cannot check the revolutionary proletarian science at the door when I'm judging. I will no longer evaluate and thus never vote for the rightist, capitalist, imperialist positions or arguments. Examples of arguments of this nature are as follows: fascism good, capitalism good, imperialist war good, neoliberalism good, defenses of U.S. or otherwise bourgeois nationalism, Zionism or normalizing Israel, colonialism, U.S. white fascist policing, etc." Bill?
Oh, pick me.
I hadn't decided yet, and I saw you like going full Horseshack. And everybody knows you never go full Horseshack. So I'm not even going to ask you a question. Clearly, you are primed. Go.
So I was on. I was in debate for 2 years in high school as a junior and senior, and we won a second state championship in Florida for when I was a senior. And so I know this experience pretty well. And listening to the requirements that this person had listed, I sat here saying to myself, I have never in my life wanted to lose a debate so badly as I do in front of that lunatic.
Right.
I, honest to God, when you read what you read, I just said, got it. Me and my partner, we're going to go in and we're going to make this thing the most epic condemnation of communism and socialism in the history of the world. We're going to absolutely dismantle them. And we're going to walk out with the L and we're going to hold it high above our heads as a sign of, as a trophy of integrity. For somebody who did spend a fair amount of time in debate, I got to tell you, my first reaction on this is, who gives a damn what judges think? They're not entitled to their opinion. They're not there to determine the course of the debate. They've got no business say, well, I'm a judge and I prefer it when you do this. Well, isn't that precious? You know, it's not about you. Your job is not to, it's like if you were having a beauty contest, you know, you wouldn't, well, I favor a one-piece bathing suits over bikinis, or my favorite instrument is the oboe, and any contestant who comes to the Miss Universe pageant who plays the oboe is going to have a better chance with me. That's not your job. You got nothing to do with that. And then as far as the rest of it goes, you know, you were saying you're judged by your content. The thing that most people don't understand about organized debate is that, and this is where I learned so much about life from debate. It's simple thing. When you're in debate, you have to be prepared at any moment at the flip of a coin to either prosecute or defend the same position. Yeah. And you've got to be able to do both of them enthusiastically and competently. You never know what you're going to get. So, each year there's a topic, so this thing's not all over the board. My senior year, I want to say it was prison reform, I think. And so we would have a case if we were going to go affirmative. We would basically, the case is, here's this problem in society and here's how we fix it. And that's it. First guy goes, here's the problem in society. Second guy goes, here's how we fix it. Anyway, so if you had a case that was, let's say, pro-death penalty, if you had done an awful lot of research and had all of these experts that say that the death penalty deters murder, you better be prepared to be defending that opposite idea. In other words, at a flip of a coin, you may be facing somebody who's coming into the room saying that the death penalty deters murder, and you got to be able to say, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. And you got to be able to argue that. That's just how the game goes. And this is when I learned a number of important things, much deeper than there's two sides to every issue. The thing I learned is that you can stand there with 10 evidence cards and quote 10 experts that say one thing, and then I can come up with another 10 evidence cards that quote another expert saying precisely the opposite thing. And when you get to this point, appeals to authority lose a lot of their punch for me. Well, so-and-so said this is, well, that's grand. Let's see what other people have said about it. And to the degree that I was successful, there used to just be this evidence flow back and forth. Well, he said this, we didn't keep account of this flow, this over there, just like a bunch of computers talking to each other. And my partner had briefcases of evidence, and I would go up there with like 3 evidence cards, and they had nothing on them. And I would just stand there and I'd say, you know what, we don't need these things. I just throw them down. I said, let's use our reason and our logic, and let's just appeal to this question. And then I would talk to people, and that was effective. But it is the idea that you would have a chance to find out what prejudices the judge has in advance is what kind of competition ever had that idiocy before.
Oh, yeah. And Bill, there's more. I thought when I first saw this story at JoanneJacobs.com, she's a educational blogger. Joanne. Has been doing it for 20 years or more now. I go to Joanne Jacobs at least once a week. I thought, oh, this is just a one-off, some attention-seeking judge posting this stuff out there. But it turns out there's more. I went to the source material at the Free Press. And debate judge Kriti Sharma wrote under her list of things that will cause you to automatically lose, number one is any kind of harassment or intentional isms, whatever that might be. And number three is referring to immigrants as illegal. So, again, doesn't matter what the strength of your case is. You use whatever little piss-off words, and you're out the door. Another judge, and again, forgive me if I'm not pronouncing any of these names correctly, Shubham Gupta, his paradigm, reads, if you are discussing immigrants in a round and describe the person as illegal, I will immediately stop the round, give you the loss with low speaker points, give you a stern lecture, and then talk to your coach. I will not have you making the debate space unsafe.
Unsafe? No, we can't have that when we're thrashing ideas about.
Scott, isn't the real shame of this that the National Debate Society, NDSA, I think it's called, that actually has judges like this? Can you imagine what that would do to a kid?
In America, it's the NFL. It's the National Forensic League. I actually played for the NFL when I was in high school.
No, this one is the National Society or some, and it's NSDA.
All right. Wow! Well, I mean, first of all, I think if you're going to call it debate club, then you would expect one set of circumstances and rules and guidelines and stuff like that. However, if you're just going to call it suck up club, I think that these rules are just fine. Like how, you know, every student dreams of learning what the teacher's predilections are so that we can curry favor on the essay test, when we're doing an exam. So, you know, this would be really useful. Unfortunately, it doesn't teach people debate or persuasion for that matter. Even if you don't think there's any use for forensics or debate going forward in society for most people, except for those who wind up in politics or law or something like that, it is useful to learn how to persuade people. And what these so-called judges are telling us is that they don't want to be persuaded. They're beyond persuasion. They've already made up their minds. This should be called the ideological reinforcement club, perhaps. If you say things that I already believe in ways that I already want to hear them, then I can accept that and you seem like a winner to me. How is that teaching anybody anything other than how to suck up to a teacher? So, you know, yeah, this is pretty disturbing,
Scott,
that there would have to be
suck up to authority.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, anybody in authority.
I'm warming up to this.
It's the worst kind of. I mean, it's the difference between learning to persuade and learning to conform, and that's what they want to teach. They want to teach conformity among these students, and to tell students at that age that there are ideas that are out of bounds, that there is terminology that is out of bounds. We're not talking about obscenities or pornography or things like that that would be, you know, inappropriate in certain settings. This is just concepts and ideas that are embraced by vast numbers of people being unacceptable in the public square. How do these people even get hired in those jobs? How do they stand in front of the school board and get, you know, are allowed to remain in those jobs? How do they get reviewed by their principals and say, yeah, we're passing you on to the next level, you're getting a raise and you're going to move, you know, up, and we want you to, you're going to be one of the stars here. Are these people actual teachers, or are they just like freelancers who can sign up on this website and claim to be judges of forensics competitions? This is one of the saddest stories that I think you've ever brought us, and you have a long history of bringing sad stories.
Sorry.
You know, the fact, just this whole idea, I mean, I understand safety in the sense of threats to personal security. And I can even make the argument to extend that to verbal abuse. Like, I don't want to create a debate club where the purpose of the debate club is personal ridicule, tearing individuals down and stuff like that. But to have some ideas that are so fragile that they must be protected by exclusionary zones around them and language that can't be used with regard to them, you apparently, my coaching friend, my judging friend, you have no strength of conviction in your own alleged beliefs.
And their beliefs don't survive contact with other opinions. That's why they have to be put in little hothouse jars. Like, I just was just real quick, Steve.
Sure.
I thinking about was it Lilac or what was the judge's name that
Lily Lavender? The first one. Let me pull this up here.
I think it was Lily Lavender.
Lila Lavender.
Yeah, Lila Lavender. Yeah, congratulations. You're 150 years out of date, but we won't let that slow you down, Marxist. I realize what I would do is that if I was in front of that person and I saw that, I would go in there with this. Very carefully crafted defense of communism all across the board. Yeah. I'd list every single one of these points, and I'd say how communism is the most awesome system in the world, and I'd list all these things, and I'd list the reasons why. And then when I've got about a minute left in my 8 minutes, I would say, now obviously I've been lying the whole time, it is the worst system, and you've just all nodded when everything you've just agreed to doesn't make any sense, because number one and number two and number three and number four, and then just, you know, then just walk out into the glory of the brand new day.
Yeah. Ugh,
swine.
I would have paid money to see that.
Would be a fun
Scott and Bill managed to say everything I wanted to say for my conclusion, so I'll finish with something a little personal here. I was in the debate club in high school, or on the team, I should say, because I couldn't stand taking the opposite side of what I really believed. I loved getting up there and giving a speech. We had this class in, I guess it was ninth grade. It was actually compulsory. You had to take it, and it was a speech and debate. And I loved the debate when I was allowed to debate my position, but I much preferred the speeches, because then I could just, you know, throw the red meat out there to the crowd, and that was so much fun. But it did give me a love for debate. Well, oh hell, I was raised half WASP, half Jewish, and all Goldwater Republican, so if there's one thing I love to do, it's argue with people. And one of my best friends in high school, Dave, he was a freaking communist, and all we did was argue. We were roommates for one semester in college after we graduated high school. All we do every night, we'd stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning just arguing with one another. My grades went to absolute hell that semester, and it was great. But imagine taking all that away, where all you can do, as Scott said, is suck up to your teachers and suck up to authority. I'm not having it. And these high school and college kids being subjected to this kind of authoritarian rule in what is supposed to be a debating society, it's unfair to them and it's un-American. And there's no debating that. All right, that's your Right Angle on that, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.